Hey everyone, welcome back. So we watched stuff number 18. You know, the Royal Rumble was last night for those who watch wrestling, so it's our once a month wrestling pay-per-view podcast, so if you don't want to listen, that's okay. It's me and Shahid, like always. So good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Mays. I hope you enjoyed the Royal Rumble last night.
Well,
I know I definitely did, but it seems like I'm in the minority of fans that have, you know, internet access and actually enjoy the Royal Rumble.
Well, it's funny you should use, hopefully I enjoyed it in minority in the same word. Because before, as I was telling you, I got my weird YouTube spiral before we started this.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading in Rolling Stone, because I got a free subscription somehow. iTunes pulled all the White Power albums off of iTunes. And I thought that was just kind of strange. One, that they were carrying it. And then two, that it still existed. Like,
wait, you may have to explain it to me, because I'm kind of, maybe it's something I'm missing about that. Now, when you say White Power albums, is there a group called White Power, or is it just the whole White Power?
You know, I don't know if there actually is a band named White Power. But there are plenty of White Power groups. It's exactly what you think it is.
I see. Okay, I was hoping for something different, but
no. I remember back in college that these were becoming all the rave. Or rage, whatever. And like all the stores around campus stopped carrying it. And my immediate reaction was, you were carrying it? Like, there was a market for this stuff?
Apparently so.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, it's foreign to me. You would go into, like, well, back then, kids, record stores existed where you had to go buy CDs and tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have the stuff just for regular consumption. And it was always kind of odd to me. Like, did you see the guys coming, or is it like someone just buy the stuff as a goof? Because if you've never listened to it, you can get lost listening to some genius and really carefully thought out lyrics. And I didn't understand just how many bands were out there. And after that, you read the comment section. It'll make your day.
Yeah, it usually does.
Yes.
For better or worse.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've been going for the last 15 minutes, getting like 30 seconds into every song. And really trying to find a good one. Like someone like well-produced, some sort of musicianship behind it. Never did find it, but boy, the comment sections were just adorable. So
it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. And I didn't think of this, though. Is there a way to clear your history on YouTube?
I have no idea. I've never thought about trying to do that.
Because I don't want a bunch of this shit populating into my, like, suggestions.
Yeah, we're a little late for that.
Yeah, I just thought of that.
You should have did it while not being signed in.
Oh, you know what? Let me see if I'm signed in or not real quick. I hope not. Come on, please don't be. Yes, I was not signed in. All right,
okay,
good.
Let's see.
They can't find me then. All right. But yeah. So that was the weird spiral I got into. And it was kind of fitting to bring it back to the Rumble. Because the comment section of these videos is pretty much like the comment section about the Royal Rumble last night. For those who don't know and are still listening to a wrestling podcast, Roman Reigns won WWE's Royal Rumble last night over such favorites as Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, and Dean Ambrose. Those are pretty much the only three other contenders, right?
Besides Oddball, since Randy Orton didn't show up, and I guess there were some rumors that maybe it'd be The Rock since he was in town. But other than that, yeah, that was it. Those old main ones that's the name.
All right. I'm glad we agreed on that, because that could go to the point of the end of the Rumble. But really, this was a forgettable card except for the final two matches.
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible. It just wasn't...
Well, there wasn't really anything at stake.
No. It just seemed like they forgot that they needed an undercard. Because most of the matches were made, in the last week or so?
I don't know when the matches were. Like, when the pay-per-view opened and I saw the New Age Outlaws and the Ascension, I was like, when was this match made?
Well, that was actually made on Raw last week.
Oh, I must have blinked and missed that. I'm like, what is it like? What's the Raw dog doing with a Philly Fanatic hat on? Is my first thought. And my second thought was, Billy Gunn is in great shape for any age. For him to be 51, yeah, that's awesome.
It's something, all right. So,
hey, oh boy.
Yeah. But, I don't know. How do you want to approach a reasonable discussion about the Royal Rumble? You've got the Rumble match and you've got the Triple Threat.
Okay, well, it depends on if you want to end on a positive note or a negative note, basically.
Well, I don't think there really needs to be a negative coming out of the Rumble match.
I personally don't have one. Because we might as well talk about the Royal Rumble match.
Okay, that's fine with me.
So, yeah, I've been going through the internet feeds and all of the memes and Instagram and Twitter. And I was like, did Roman Reigns shoot somebody? Like, I noticed this thing, like, it's funny. You know what's ironic about this whole thing? This time last year, Batista was the one getting the... It's not Daniel Bryan, so we're going to crap on it. And the up-and-comer that was getting cheered the most at that pay-per-view and say, well, I'd rather have this guy win, was Roman Reigns. During the time, he's getting pushed because he just came off Survivor Series and pinned four people, you know, basically by himself. He was the hot guy in the Shield, and the smart fans liked him because he was cool, and the chicks liked him because he looks the way he looks. And he eliminated, 12 people? And he was like the last person there with Batista, and nobody was just like, you know, Batista was getting crapped on because they felt like he was taking Daniel Bryan's spot. Fast forward a year later, and Roman Reigns is getting crapped on because apparently, you know, a year later, he's less ready than he was before, and he's taking Daniel Bryan's spot. It's funny how, like I say, you know, funny how wrestling works. And I was thinking that watching that the whole match. Like, he's getting blamed basically because Vince McMahon is booking him like John Cena from a year ago or for the past 5 years.
Yeah. See, I think, all right, and it was funny. I'd always start a conversation and then cut it off in the middle of it and say, save it for tonight. And this is one I actually didn't, just to save it. I'm trying to figure out if Roman Reigns and... Just go with the terminology here. If Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble, that's not easy to say. If the Rumble coming on second and the title match being last, if it would have lessened the blow. Because we both agree. I didn't mind Roman Reigns winning because I never believed for a second Dolph Ziggler was winning. I didn't think Daniel Bryan. I'm back on the last year at this time. Why is anyone surprised that Daniel Bryan doesn't win? It's been the same since. I mean, he won at WrestleMania last year, and it was immediately booked to look goofy against Kane. And it was gone the rest of the year. So nothing really changed outside of one event.
Yeah. You already know why, like I said. Especially CM Punk's not there, so Daniel Bryan's the patron saint, and people have this idea, you know, maybe they learned their lesson because they saw what happened last year. And I'm like, no. They've been talking about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar since when? What, April? May?
I think pretty much as soon as Lesnar won, and got by the rematch with Cena, That was always – because remember, there was a back and forth with Vince wanting Rock to be in the match and Hunter wanting Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And then Reigns gets hurt, which – it's I'm having a hard time steering the conversation because to not go all over the place. But, yeah, you're exactly right. That's the exact plan since last year. So the same people who are mad are the same ones who would complain about long-term booking.
Like, everybody kind of knew this was coming. And for all the fans saying, oh, they're pushing Roman Reigns down our throat. You know what I like to say? That's your fault. Because when the Shield first started, all I heard was, you know, Dean Ambrose, he's the hot thing. And he's going to start something with Mick Foley. And Seth Rollins was this great wrestler. And, you know, Roman Reigns, this, I don't know who this Roman guy is. He's Raw. And then as soon as the Shield start getting time, what you hear about, oh, I like Roman Reigns. He's cool. You know, he gets to the point. He's got a good look. He's athletic. That's the type of guy you need to push. Like, the fans got behind Roman Reigns and elevated him to be the leader of the Shield because that was supposed to be, like, Dean Ambrose's spot when it started. And, you know, I didn't hear any complaints when Roman Reigns was dominating Survivor Series. I didn't hear any complaints when Roman Reigns was dominating Royal Rumble. I didn't hear any complaints at WrestleMania when they were dominating the Outlaws and when they were dominating Evolution. No problem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Vince likes him. Now I don't like. Even before you start cutting those corny promos, as soon as like they start pushing them, that's when this whole, oh, they're going to push him down our throat. I'd rather cheer for Dean Ambrose. Or I'd rather cheer for Dolph Ziggler because Daniel Bryan was around. And then as soon as Daniel Bryan come back, he needs to get what he earned and get his spot back because I want to see a David Goliath match, Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. Who wants to see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar? We talked about this. I don't have any problem with David Goliath stories, but I usually root for Goliath. as effective as Daniel Bryan is, and I have no problem rooting for Daniel Bryan, it is no, especially after the triple threat match, there is no way in hell I could believe a one-on-one straight match, no stipulations, Daniel Bryan can beat Brock Lesnar unless he threw like a cobra at him. There's no way. I mean, you could sell like, you know, it's been done before and everything like that. And I don't want to see Daniel Bryan get dropped on his neck and his shoulders 15 times after coming back from injury. I'm like, I know that's the story. And I know the fans want to see that, but it's more believable that Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar. And what's the argument people always make? They don't push, they don't make young stars, they don't give them the push. If Brock Lesnar is about to leave and you built him up for a year, start with him beating The Undertaker and slaughtering Cena, what's a better rub than having Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania right before he goes back to UFC? Yeah. But you're going to wait a year and if he's more ready because he cuts 2-minute promos to the 1-minute promos, but he's going to beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania in Dallas. Come on now. Like,
yeah. All right. Well, you said a lot in there. And let's go to the David and Goliath thing, which because it goes back to my order of the Royal Rumble and the main event, or the Cena triple threat match, excuse me. The way that triple threat match went down, like, you know, Brock Lesnar has looked, he's lived up to the Beast nickname the whole time. But during that match, the amount of punishment he took and the way he just, not played it off because he was down for quite a long time. But then to pop up and run in the ring and throw everybody around, gets hit twice in the head and still has wherewithal pick up F5 done. I understand the David and Goliath myth, but even David cheated.
Yeah.
I mean, he shot him in the head with a, not crossbow, slingshot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. After all of that, and you brought this up, Daniel Bryan is this skinny little guy. He'd look ridiculous against Brock Lesnar, and I don't think a submission game, no matter how much you play it up that, you know, Daniel Bryan does jiu-jitsu, we'll just go with that. I can't see where logically or realistically that match would, outside of like the emotional investment that people have in it, I don't see how that match would make any sense, that it would keep your interest. And you're right, he would get tossed around on his neck all over the place. And I don't, I mean, I guess you could have, you know, Daniel Bryan win at WrestleMania and free the WWE of Brock Lesnar. But Brock Lesnar's put on the best matches on every pay-per-view he's been in.
Yeah.
So you're not freeing him from anything.
Yeah. Just think about how that triple threat match, we'll talk about it later. John Cena hit him with two straight F5s and he bounced back up. Mm-hmm. For him to get hit with a third. Like, who does, like, that's video game. Like, that only happened in the video games.
Yeah.
Like, he was just dominant. He was destroying everybody. You know, he took damage when he popped up. It was like, where the hell did he come from? Like, he's just so fast for his size. Like, 1 second you see Seth Rollins wrestling with John Cena, then all of a sudden you see this big orange gorilla pop out of nowhere and just drop Seth Rollins on his neck. You know, so you see that and you see how they push him. And that's always been the problem with Brock Lesnar. They've always pushed him that way. It's like a monster. And the people that stood up with him that's been like close to his size.
Yeah.
He outweighs Daniel Bryan by like 80 something pounds. And he's almost probably as fast as Daniel Bryan. He can probably wrestle, you know, like we always made the argument with him and John Cena. Like, John Cena's a bad matchup for Brock Lesnar because there's nothing Cena can do that's better than what Lesnar can do. I don't see how you can sell that match, you know, with Daniel Bryan beating him. And people can bring up, you know, well, Eddie Guerrero did. I'm like, yeah, well, one, Eddie Guerrero was a bit bigger. Two, the only reason he won was because Goldberg came in and spared him. And then there was a chair involved. Like, it wasn't a clean match. Like, Brock dominated him for most of the match and then slipped on a banana peel. Mm-hmm. So, unless
you do you want that to be your main event at WrestleMania? A 20-minute beatdown of him, have, I don't know, somebody interfere or something like that? I mean, that was at No Way Out. That was what it was called back then, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So do you want that to be a WrestleMania main event? Because that's the only thing that makes sense. Because they've shown that Daniel Bryan, the character, can overcome odds. And he can win a straight-up match with John Cena. He can win a triple threat against all odds. He can beat Triple H against all odds, whatever. And I guess, what fans will say is that, well, that's happened, so why not Brock Lesnar? It's like, well, because none of those guys were booked the way Brock Lesnar is booked right now.
Like, John Cena said himself, no one has, basically, since the Ultimate Warrior or Goldberg. Like, John Cena said himself that post-interview, he's like, you know, what happened, John? Like, yeah, I try my best, but Brock Lesnar, he's a whole different animal. He's on a whole different plane. And John Cena's booked like Superman. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that about Brock Lesnar. So, yeah. I'm like, if you're going to have somebody, you can have Roman Reigns. You might as well go back to the Rumble. And people complain about how it's booked. And I can understand the part about, you know, if Daniel Bryan's not going to win, you shouldn't have had him come back until after the Rumble.
That's what I was going to mention. If that was, I think that would have been the better plan. Not even have him come back. I mean, unfortunately, Raw snowed out tonight. He could have made his return tonight and said, I'm sorry, I just wasn't ready for the Royal Rumble. All of this is avoided. Now, people still may have turned on Roman Reigns, but it wouldn't be because Daniel Bryan didn't win or Dolph Ziggler or Dean Ambrose.
I'll say this. It may not have been as bad, but they'd have turned on because they still chant for CM Punk. That's a Philly crowd. And I had a friend like that's in our group that talked about he went there live. And he was saying from the moment he went there, whenever they showed Roman Reigns there, they booed the crap out of him. Like, they were just there. They knew he was going to win, and they were not a fan of that push. And then, yeah, once Daniel Bryan was in there and then lost, it was like, yeah, you're going downhill. But having said that, if you're going to book Roman Reigns, another complaint people had was how it ended. Like, it was anticlimactic because you had Rusev, Kane, and the Big Show, and Roman Reigns. So you knew Reigns was going to win. And my counterpoint is this. If The Rock's getting involved, there's no other what last four would you have there? Like, what would be, you know, once you bring The Rock in there, you can't have Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns be the last four, and then a Rock shows up and get like a people's elbow to Daniel Bryan or some nonsense like that. So once you bring him in to give him that push, you got to have it booked that way. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Okay, so I'm going to counter you on that one. If you're going to have the Rock there, first, don't have your announcers act surprised the Rock is there. When all over social media, you know, the thing they tout is the end-all be-all of public existence. Rock's all over the place, and they even said Rock's in Philadelphia earlier. And then all of a sudden, Michael Cole acts like, oh my God, the Rock's here. Well, no shit. So, and that's another big thing that, you know, the announcers aren't helping the situation too, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I concocted it, and I'm going to say this right now. It wasn't well thought out, but I concocted this before I got in my hate spiral. Why not? You can still use The Rock in this, but why not have your final four or all your internet darlings? You got Roman Reigns, who some people really like. You got Dean Ambrose, Daniel Bryan, and Dolph Ziggler. And just go, all right, crowd, this is what you wanted, and I'll, you know, this is what's going to happen. And I know it would be a weird result, a weird end to have four faces, whatever. But you can logically drag out two sides. You got the former Shield guys together, and you got the other two guys, who really all of them have some sort of a history together. Have them fight it out, nice and competitive, get some compelling action in it. Roman Reigns wins. The crowd still may hate it.
Oh, they definitely won't hate it. But at least it's the end of the show. So.
And it's also not the Big Show and Kane. And that's when you can bring The Rock out to congratulate his cousin. And he doesn't, I mean, I know you don't get the people's elbow and the drama of it, but you still get that solidification of Roman Reigns winning without the, like, because as soon as there was, because at least there's drama with the four of them at the end. You don't know who's going to win. If you would have done that, it would have been like, wait, what? No one expected this. Or hell, you know what? If the final five, throw Cesaro in there as well. Now, we all know Cesaro's not going to win, but if he's in there, you never know. This could be the push. And then you have The Rock come out and be like, this is my cousin. He worked his ass off. You can have Daniel Bryan even shake his hand and go, like, it's your turn. Good job. Just something like that. Because, you know, Daniel Bryan's an easygoing guy. You could have done it so many different ways, even with Daniel Bryan being in there. Or heaven forbid, which I just sounded 80, have some heel cost Daniel Bryan the match instead of Bray Wyatt just kicking him out like nothing, which I think was a big problem for people too. Well, actually, a lot of the eliminations were done in such a matter-of-fact way that...
It's funny you brought that up because people were complaining about how Bray Wyatt didn't seem like, you know, he's been wasted for the past few months and he wasn't pushed correctly. And besides Roman Reigns, he's probably like the second most pushed guy at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, it was, they made a big deal how long he was there, how he was controlling the flow, how many people he eliminated, and the fact he eliminated Daniel Bryan, and he's been dominating, like that whole, whenever they even interacted, he's been dominating Daniel Bryan. That's been a one-sided feud for the most part. And they didn't do a good job of building it up, and they could have done a better job. The Rumble itself was kind of, you know, you had, yeah, seeing Bully Ray, I didn't expect that. And R2 playing the role of D-Von, because I guess D-Von's still in a contract, was hilarious.
I got a great kick out of that. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping what happened, I mean, I was hoping what was about to happen happened.
Yeah.
Just him looking at it and looking at R-Truth was like, well, you're black.
Yeah, close enough.
Yes, that's just funny. Mm-hmm. I actually read where people had a problem with that. It's like, oh, all the black guys are the same. It's like, no,
that fits. I mean, it's one, it's WWE. Two, it kind of fits Bully, whatever you want to call him, in more ways than one. And three, it's funny. It's like, you kind of know that was going to happen. It's like, you know, It fit the match. It fit the story on a meta way and a kayfabe way. So when we were watching, because I watched it with a group of like 10 people, you know, some that was casual fans, some were like hardcore fans, you know, and one little pudgy 10-year-old kid that was a John Cena fan to the death. I haven't been around one of those in a while, so I can see why John Cena's pushed that way. So they got a kick out of that. DDP hawking his shirt. They got a kick out of that, too.
I love DDP just being a show for himself.
Even who was the third? Didn't he get Bray? He even got Bray Wyatt with one. Like, you know.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so seeing that was good. When we had our little numbers game, I had 7, 8, and 23. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, so I had the Boogeyman and Sin Cara, like, back to back. Yeah, it was kind of like, ugh, yeah, I'm not winning with those. I don't know. It just seemed like it was just booked strange. Like, the Rumble itself was kind of the whole thing. Once Daniel Bryan got tossed out, it was just this whole funk about it. And who came out to get them cheering? It was someone. Oh, Dean Ambrose brought him back up. And Dolph Ziggler did a little bit. But how they eliminated Ambrose and Ziggler was just, like you said, you know, I'm going to punch him in the face and then just toss him out. Like, it makes sense, but it's just kind of anticlimactic.
I've given up on Dolph Ziggler. Whether it's his own fault or whether it's how they write for him, whatever it is, he came back when they reintroduced him on SmackDown, and he was, you know, they had all three in the ring. Eric Rowan does his goofy bit, which is fine. Ryback, you know, does his spiel, and then Dolph Ziggler's like, you know, I ate deep dish pizza. I watched all the Authority cheering them on, and I'm like, what? And then who introduced him? I can't even remember now. Was it John Cena?
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, what? Seriously? He's like, no, not seriously. And I'm like, oh, you're a nerd.
Yes.
I can't get behind you.
I've always talked about, I've never been a fan of Dolph Ziggler. I'm like, he's a guy that's playing pro wrestler. That's always, you know, like, he's a better, you know, a better John Morrison. And I don't know how much a compliment it is. Like, when he's a heel, it's like, you know, I'm playing a heel. Like, his Twitter name's Hill Ziggler. You don't play a heel. You just are a heel. That's how, you know, I shouldn't have to see. Think, I don't know, it's performance art. But I never want to watch you think you're playing a role. The best heels, like, you know, I just feel like they're being themselves, magnify a little bit. And he's always, you know, he always, like, he's trying too hard, and he does things his own way.
Yep.
And he looks like he has the look, but when he acts and talks, it's kind of like, you know, and John Morris had the same thing, like, you know, you act like a goofball.
Yes.
Yeah. And it just takes me out of it. And not like a Ryback-type goofball where, you know, Ryback might act quirky, but I feel like, you know, if you take his cheesecake, he might murder you. No. Like, Dolph Ziggler seems like goofy acting, and I guess if that's, you know, then he used to date, what's that comedian? Who's the female comedian he used to date?
Oh, Amy Schumer.
Yeah, Amy Schumer. She was saying, oh, we had to break up because he was too energetic in the bedroom, and he's kind of goofy acting and everything like that. I'm like, yeah, I can see him being that. So, no. So, yeah, Dolph Ziggler not winning, I was surprised by that.
I guess, you know, just kind of like we said, it is anticlimactic, but I, what do you expect? I mean, after even, you know, they get fired and then they come back and going back to Survivor Series, he was all, well, gee, golly, gosh, gee whiz, I won, you know, I'm just humble. It's like, no. It's like, I fought my ass off. That's why I won. I'm not all humble about it and happy. It's stupid. And that's when I finally started, I gave up. I'm like, whether or not, you know, it's written for him, whatever. You got to say something. And this kind of ties into Roman Reigns, and I kind of mentioned offhanded to you. Mm-hmm. I swear Vince is writing bad stuff for him on purpose to try and get him to show like a business acumen. I have nothing to back this up. This is all me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, so today, I can't remember what I wrote you. He thinks he taught Putty Tat or something last night. I'm just waiting for Vince to write that. And then Roman Reigns go, okay. And Vince just throws his arms up like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. What are you doing? But then, because I guess part of me just refuses to believe Vince McMahon's that out of touch.
See, I don't. Part of me is kind of like, he's in touch when it comes to certain things. I think when it comes to like wrestling, for the most part, he has an idea of what he's doing. Because more often than not, they push the right people, more or less. And the people he's kind of not wanting to get, you know, push. 7 times out of 10 is kind of like history proves him right. But when it comes to like pop culture, yeah, he's never been like, you know, I'm cool. He's never been Eric Bischoff or Paul Heyman when it's come to that. He's always seemed like he's like, you know, 20 years behind when it comes to that. So, yeah. And people say, oh, I see him. He can do that, get that crappy stuff on purpose to Roman Reigns. And I'm like, John Cena was doing that for a long time. There's a reason why fans hated John Cena. Because up until, I guess, what, the past 2 months, John Cena was doing that same, those same crappy-ass promo with that stuff. And even a Rock, like, The Rock's the only person good enough to get away with that garbage. And even he has his limits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's gotten some corny stuff. It's kind of like, you know, you let it slide because it's The Rock.
But I think The Rock gets the benefit of the doubt because of how little he's around.
Yeah. I'm talking about when he was around, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, you look at some of that stuff now, it's kind of like, yeah. He's had so many good promos that you kind of ignore, like, how corny some of those promos could easily sound for somebody else. Like, he's good enough to get by that. Most people aren't. And as you say, oh, Roman Reigns, why don't you stand up for yourself? That's easy. Everybody's not CM Punk. And everybody's not like Stone Cold Steve Austin, where I'm not saying it's crap.
I'll go back to that Steve Austin Vince McMahon thing. They had his podcast where Austin said something about telling him that this sucks or this sucks and pissed him off, and Vince goes, "Well, there's a way to say it without pissing me off." So I don't expect Roman Reigns to like throw the script down and be like, "This is bullshit. I'm not doing this. You're writing for kids." But I would expect him to go, "Vince, this is really dated." Because, but then I also wonder if Vince isn't in Jerry Lawler's ear, because last night he made a round is a shape joke, and then he also made a Gallagher reference.
Yeah, I called that Gallagher reference.
I was like, okay, I know I'm old enough to know what that is, but that's not good. But then, as Kevin and I talked about, their average age of their audience is in their 50s now. So. Yeah. But no, so that's all I expect. And I mean,
I get where Stone Cold comes from, but you got to keep in mind, he had enough confidence to say it to Vince, because by the time he was like Stone Cold, he'd been wrestling for what, 14 years? Like, you know,
he's been a while.
Yeah. Even not kind of like, you know, doing World Class and WCW, ECW. Like, he was a veteran. And it's kind of like, you know, I know my way around the block. I know how to talk to people, and once I get to Stone Cold Steve Austin land, like, yeah, I'm going to protect myself. But he's got, you know, like they joke around, he's got seniority. Roman Reigns been around, what, wrestling, what, 2 years? Tops? You know, like...
Literally, I'd say 3 years. Yeah. He was in Florida for a little bit.
You know, it's obviously he doesn't feel comfortable enough, or who knows, because we're not behind the scenes. But yeah. I'm guessing he doesn't feel comfortable enough to like know how to approach Vince and say it without pissing him off, because Vince can say, you know, it's a way to approach me and say it the right way. But there's been a lot of careers that have died on the vine because they said the wrong thing, the wrong way to certain people.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder. I just thought of this, going back to what I said earlier, how Vince's plan was for The Rock and Triple H was for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a little, like, subtle sabotage. If Vince now, all right, this is your project, but I'm taking over the reins. No pun intended. But, I mean, not blatant, but just enough to be like, see, I told you your guy wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And
But yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that. And it's funny, you know, the counterpoint would say, well, if you don't think he's ready, make him ready. Like, if you're going to push him.
It's hard to make a guy ready when he has to sit out for 90 days.
But you know what's funny about that? People talk about that all the time. Like, you know, Roman Reigns doesn't have enough time and he's not ready to give him a year. And people like comparing him to Batista. I'm like, Batista had a lot less ring time and push time when he got his push. Like, he was less ready than Roman Reigns. But what got him over was, one, he didn't cut those goofy promos. He didn't get exposed in the ring. And then he was the hot internet thing because people got sick of Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like they pushed Randy Orton to the moon the wrong way, turned him babyface and pushed him like crap. And they, you know, turned the nose of that. Like, you know, Batista's cool and he's different or anything like that. So even though he had the look that WWE loves and he was a Triple H guy, they didn't hold that against him. Because think about it. Before he had that feud with Triple H, what was his – you remember him? He tagged him with Flair. He had a good Raw match with Benoit. You know, he had a triple threat with Jericho and Edge or some stuff like that. Like, he didn't have a lot of, you know, ring time or a lot of, you know, memories to build him up. Basically, he got like a four-month push. And next thing you know, he was in the last match at WrestleMania, not John Cena, JBL. And he had a lot less time than Roman Reigns. I think it's just more about timing, more than anything. Like, if they had pushed him last year, like, if there's no Daniel Bryan's hurt, and the way they're pushing Roman Reigns, if this is this time last year, and somebody said he's hot, we're going to push him to win the title, I bet you less people had complaints. They wouldn't have talked about that whole ready thing. They would have said, you know, strike while the iron's hot.
All right. I'm not sure I agree with that. Because I think there's just something about, and I most of the venom is coming from how WWE doesn't listen to their fans. And this is like the final straw. I mean, cancel WWE Network, I think it's still trending, actually.
Yeah.
The cancellation site crashed last night.
All 600 of them.
Well, this is what I was trying to figure out with the whole cancellation site crashing. One, there's the conspiracy part. WWE took it down on purpose. Mm-hmm. Two, this was just natural. People wanted to see the Rumble, signed up. As soon as it was over, oh, I don't need it anymore because it's going to bill me until February, whatever, anyways. So I don't know if that was legit people being that mad or if it was just coincidence.
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, because first of all, the type of person that's going to have that trend is going to be the type of fan that, you know, we made a joke at Royal Rumble when CM Punk lost to The Rock and that video came on, the guy knocking down his DVD case. Like, certain fans kind of take it a bit more serious than they need to. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the fan you're going to hear about, like, I'm never ordering anything again. I'm going to cancel my $9.99 and burn my belt and all that. Yeah, so you're going to hear those. And if you get on social media, you'll probably get a lot of retweets and hear that. But what percentage of that is like, you know, a fan? You know, what, 5%, 6%? You know, WWE's not going to worry. People always, and I've gotten an argument with this. I'm glad you brought it up. The argument's always been that Vince doesn't listen to the fans and WWE doesn't listen to the fans. And my counterpoint has been, what group of fans do you listen to? Because that's always been my thing. Because I remember a couple years ago, the Raw after WrestleMania, when the European fans just hijacked the show. And, you know, like, I don't care who's in the ring. We're going to chant soccer chants and we're going to do our own chants and do everything in the ring. And we're going to send a – and because of that, Fandango became a thing for 4 months.
I'd say a month. I wouldn't even get
it. Well, how long? Too long. It was whatever the time frame was, it should have been a week. And like I said, so you listen to that group of fans and it's kind of like they want to do this way. You might listen to some other show. Like if Royal Rumble was in, let's say, Charlotte, North Carolina, You're not going to get that Roman Reigns hate like that. If it's like somewhere in the South, like a wrestling town, but not like a smart, you know, a passionate wrestling town, but not that old smarky art wrestling town. Mm-hmm. You're going, you know, because even when Roman Reigns goes a lot of places, he gets cheered by some and the females still love him. They don't have a problem with that. But yeah, you go by Philly, you already knew that was going to happen. You're going to change your whole booking plan for the next couple of years because Philly didn't like him.
Now, see, I think, all right, I'll agree with you on the Roman Reigns part, but I'll go back to the Daniel Bryan part to where he's still going to get the same amount of love in Charlotte that he would in Philadelphia.
Well, he's the exception to the rule, and look what happened. I'm glad you brought it up. Look what happened last year. Like, you know, Batista won, and everybody was like, WrestleMania's going to be ruined, and they're going to ruin Daniel Bryan and all that stuff. And what ended up happening? Daniel Bryan beat Triple H and then won a triple threat match clean at WrestleMania. Like, you know, whatever, if that was the original plan or not, they were smart enough to change the plan. A lot of things can happen between, you know, now and in the March.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's for sure, too. I still think it'll be Lesnar. They can't do another triple threat. Mm-hmm. But I just, going back to, like, the fans genuinely seem emotionally invested in Daniel Bryan now. For whatever reason, I think it started off as the little engine that could sort of thing, mm-hmm. and then losing at WrestleMania in 20 seconds pissed people off. Even going back further than that, there's always been like that edge where at first it was, I'd say, the internet hardcore fans, and then they saw how their guy was getting treated, and then it started rubbing off on other people. Like, as it built over the years, and last year, you know, got to the fever pitch. He was, I mean, if you believe the Time Magazine, I think it was Time Magazine, or maybe it was Bleacher Report. I know it's a pretty big disparity in publication.
Yeah, whatever. Well, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it's probably Bleacher Report. So, mm-hmm. you know, Time covered the canceled WWE network hashtag real quick. But, damn it. Oh. But you have, like, if you believe them, Daniel Bryan wasn't set to be in the Royal Rumble. It was, Daniel Bryan was supposed to be facing something or somebody else. And I'm sorry, WrestleMania, not Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the fans freaked out and that made them change their mind. I don't buy that story at all. I think, well, maybe I buy it a little bit, but it also seemed like they botched Batista, which we've talked about before. They botched bringing Batista back last year. This year, it doesn't seem like there was any of that mistake. They wanted Roman Reigns to win. Daniel Bryan's been back for 3 weeks. You don't know how, you know, if he's going to be able to hold up the schedule. So, the fans, like, I don't think they're all, like, smart marks, whatever you want to call them. Smarks, internet fans, hardcore. I don't think that venom about him losing is all, like, the smarty smarts or whatever. I think there are generally some people that are really mad and want something different.
Oh,
and that, you, yeah. But you're getting something different with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. A match that has literally never happened before. Mm-hmm. I guess. I shouldn't have said that, I suppose, but I don't think it's ever happened before.
No, it has not happened before. It's funny about that because you were wondering why Daniel Bryan. I think it's a part of one, since CM Punk is gone, he's like the main patron saint of that group. Like, mm-hmm. my wife got behind Daniel Bryan, just listening to promo. Like, she was just going to the bedroom and she stopped and listened to promo he cut, like, I'm coming, I'm not retiring, I'm coming back. And she got behind. Like, it's something about Daniel Bryan, like, it's easy to cheer, even if you don't know his story. Like, he's easy to get behind. If you know his story, he's even better. Like, you know, he put the work in before he got there. He's been in WWE, what, 6 years? 5 years, 6 years? Something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, he's pretty, like, trash and kept, you know, moving up. So it's easy to get behind that story. It's easy to get behind him. It's not just an internet thing. It's like, you know, fans like Daniel Bryan. So I get that part. But my thing is, you know, like, they want to push him like he's John Cena. He's not going to get, like, as much as, you know, they might respect Daniel Bryan, he's not getting pushed like John Cena. And he got pushed strong. More than most. He got pushed stronger than CM Punk ever got pushed. But, you know, it's like, it's limits to that. And it was never the whole thing. You know, once he got injured, it was kind of like, we're going to go with our plan. It was never the plan for him to get in. And how would it look? He just came back and he lost to Bray Wyatt. He's going to win the Royal Rumble and wrestle Brock Lesnar. You know, kind of like if they did that was if switch names. If that was John, switch out Daniel Bryan with John Cena and John Cena did that, people would throw a hissy fit. Like, you've been gone for what, 8 months? And you just cut, you just waltz your ass in and take a get a title match. Like, it's no big thing. But, you know, but I understand why people have a like for Daniel Bryan. And they look at Roman Reigns, the whole thing, well, he's this guy that's getting pushed. He's not ready. And they're taking Daniel Bryan's spot, just like last year. And it's like, you know, that's all. That seems like that's going to be a thing. As long as Daniel Bryan's around, like, you know, he needs, they taking his spot.
Yeah.
Like,
I also wonder with Daniel Bryan, though, is, like, Daniel Bryan fans, me included, were robbed of seeing him actually, like, ascend to the top. He wins at WrestleMania, which was a ton of fun. We got to celebrate, and I say we, I mean Daniel Bryan fans, got to celebrate on Raw the next day with some cool stuff. You know, him thanking us, getting all emotional, whatever else. And he's gone after the next month. You know, they kept him around with, like, maybe he'll heal up, maybe he'll heal up. And when he didn't, you never got to see, like, an actual, him becoming a legitimate face of the company. Even with John Cena around, all the momentum was his.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything was his way. John Cena had taken the back seat down to go take on Bray Wyatt. Even that Raw after WrestleMania, John Cena was in a six-man in the first hour. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And he wasn't around the rest of the show. So like, Daniel Bryan fans never got that opportunity to watch him take what they consider his rightful place at the top, to actually get that brass ring, the ball, the spot, whatever you want to call it, and actually get to that point. And I think a lot of people think when he came, or thought when he came back this time, it was oh, he's back, Rumble, WrestleMania, and then now, a year later, it's finally his time to become what he was supposed to be last year.
Yeah.
And with that being taken away, it's like they're not listening to us.
You know, unless, that sounds like, I mean,
unless, like you pointed out, there's something else going on.
You know what, exactly, you know the last person had a story like that? That's Chris Benoit. That's what Daniel Bryan is to a certain extent.
Yeah, let's hope that's the only comparison.
I hope it doesn't end like it ended with Benoit, but the whole, you know, Benoit was the veteran, he had the street cred, the indie cred, casual fans got behind him, was like, you know, he deserves better, and he's getting held back, and then he finally got that push and, you know, beat Triple H and Shawn Michaels. That was basically like the WWE Trinity back then. And then he start, you know, he beats them two or three times, and then he's feuding with Kane and, you know, wasting his time, and he gets pushed to, like, the mid-card as their champion, and then Randy Orton takes his belt, and he never snitched the main event again.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, people are just hoping, I hope that doesn't happen to Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan's in a better position because he's just in a better position. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's, people say, you know, it's the same old thing. And I'm like, if you watch Raw, no, it's not. Like, how many times have you seen John Cena, like, take a break? Like, he set up to wrestle Rusev, more or less, for WrestleMania. Like, you know, he's taking it, and that's John damn Cena. Like, he's taking a step back. Like, you watch Raw, and I watched Raw for, a month and a half, watching Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins in the main event.
Yeah.
Or seeing Roman Reigns. Like, it's been new, whether you like it or not. And I know Daniel Bryan is the fan favorite. I had no problem with that. But Daniel Bryan's not this up-and-comer guy. Like, you've been around for 7 years. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
this fresh new chicken, more or less.
I still think he's still a fresh face, though, because he was never taken seriously. And then once he was, it was taken away. Like, you know, obviously not WWE's fault.
Yeah.
And I think that that goes a long way. And going back to the beginning of this, that's when they should have rethought this, unless there is a plan involved. And if there is a plan, just saying, they didn't execute it very well. There should have been something. I mean, honestly, having Kane and Big Show team up to get rid of him in the middle of the match, for the live crowd, there needed to be a big send-off. Like, he's over. Like, he should have come in. He could have come in number one, fought all the way through to, like, number 23 comes out, and a bunch of the Authority gang up on him. Just something. And I know that they were giving Bray Wyatt a real large, you know, a prominent role, which was great. But it rang hollow when he eliminated him. And really, you know, just the way any of the younger guys got to, it was an awkwardly booked. And I'm moving away from Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns because we haven't talked at all about the Rumble match. There were no star making appearances. Like any of the small storylines they could have used, it wasn't there. Mizdow and Miz. It was a brief second, a moment. And I thought they missed out on a lot of like comedy potential or story potential by having Miz and Mizdow not in the ring at the same time. Because even the Usos brought it up, I believe it was on SmackDown. I was like, so if Miz gets eliminated, you're going to eliminate yourself? And you could have gone one way, the comedy route where, yeah, he eliminates himself, or the story route where he goes, he throws himself over the top and stops himself and is like, I can't do this. And then gets back in the ring and then obviously gets thrown out because, you know, Mizdow's not winning. So there was that little bit. I did like the Wyatt family reunion and then Rowan and Harper supposedly turning on Wyatt only to have Harper just beat on Rowan anyways.
Yeah.
But there was no flow. Like, once Daniel Bryan got eliminated, I did hear complaints that, well, then there were a bunch of losers after him. Well, yeah. Because the crowd, they must have known the crowd was going to be upset he was eliminated. So why the hell would you send Dean Ambrose out immediately after him?
Yeah, like, let them get out of the system and then bring out Dean Ambrose.
It didn't work, but
it worked a little bit, but it, yeah. Here's my thing about that. They kind of had an idea of, they had to know. And I posted something like, even a Rock, when he got his Instagram saying like he was glad to be there and everything like that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know they booed the crap out my boy, but I still love you anyway. Like, they not dancing around what happened. And I give them credit for that. Because, you know, before people made the jokes like, I can't wait to see the Blu-ray release when they pipe in the chairs for Roman Reigns.
Yes, that will be pretty funny.
Like, they acknowledging the fact. Like, I can't wait till they start calling them controversial. Cause that's what happens when you're a babyface that gets booed by certain people. But they kind of acknowledging what's going on. And they kind of did that last year with Batista. So they got a plan. I don't know if they're going to be hard enough to stick to the plan. Because on one hand, it's like, if that's what you believe is the best thing, you do it. Because they did it with John Cena for a decade. And whatever you want to say, it worked.
Yeah, made money for John Cena and WWE.
And, like, John Cena's still around, and I'm a John Cena fan. I thought I'd never get to the point where I'm that, but I'm, like, considering, I guess we can wrap up, talk about that triple threat match.
Yeah.
Of course, Brock Lesnar's going to get, you know, due credit for that, and Seth Rollins was awesome. John Cena worked his ass off, and it's kind of like, I don't know what changed or why it changed, but for, like, the past 2 months, almost 3 months, I'm like, John Cena's been the guy we've always wanted him to be. And I have been a John Cena, like, I've been a John Cena fan. And that match, yeah, I give him utmost credit. Because it's easy to get not noticed because, you know, Brock Lesnar's a monster. And Seth Rollins, like this super athlete that kind of is the glue to the match. Like, John Cena more than held his own. You know, like, I never complained about him looking clunky or looking out of place. Like, he's a very strong man. And he takes a world of punishment. It doesn't look as punishing, you know, like Seth Rollins when you get suplexed and land neck and highlight first. But I know it had to be painful being in the ring with Brock Lesnar.
I'm trying to think. I'm not saying I'm a John Cena fan, but like the anger that he used to like quell in me is gone. Now, he still does things that annoy the hell out of me, and I wish the agents would grab him. That flying tackle or whatever, or more like gliding tackle, that doesn't look like it hurts whatsoever.
Yeah, but
they either need to tell him, no, that's out of your repertoire, or hit the guy with it.
Are you talking about the shoulder block?
Yeah, the gliding shoulder block.
Yeah, I mean,
the worst movie does.
But I'm like, he's 250 pounds with probably like 11% body fat. It might not look like it hurt, but yeah, I'm not taking that.
Well, see, I've heard that some of the guys complain about John Cena not knowing how strong he is.
Yeah.
So I've always wondered if that's why on that move, and I know what you just said, I'm not discounting you, but I do wonder if that's one of those moves where he does hold back. Like, he knows, all right, if I blast this guy, I mean, imagine him, and Seth Rollins is not a small man whatsoever, but John Cena, and you said 11% body fat, I'm trying to figure out where it is then, because that guy just looks like he's just shredded.
Yeah.
And not knowing anything about physiology doesn't help my cause either. But I just wonder if that's one of those moves where he's like, I have to lay off this move, or I will just obliterate the guy if I'm actually like going to put 70% of, you know.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I get what you're saying. Like, a lot of times people complain about his offense kind of looks clunky and everything like that. And part of it might be because he's not the most graceful athlete. Another part might be maybe he doesn't want to hurt, maybe he doesn't want to be like the Steiner brother and really hurt somebody, because he's right. A man, and he's a very, very, very strong man. So him moving at a certain speed, and he's not the most graceful person, yeah, I'm not trying to get hit with that shoulder. So if he grazes me, that's fine. Like, you know, on TV, they're like, oh, he barely hitting him. But then you kind of think about what you really want. It's not like Brie Bella hitting you. It's John Cena hitting you.
Yeah, well, the way she's built now, I don't know. But no, I don't know. So, I mean, that's like one of the things. And as long as John Cena keeps it serious, he's always fine. It's when he gets into that goofy crap that just annoys the hell out of me. But, yeah. I don't know if you have Raw on in the background, but they're giving away the entire triple threat match from last night.
Yeah, well.
And they're right now, like, this was a scary-ass bump where John Cena decides to throw both J&J security down. Mm-hmm. And it didn't look like Jamie Noble exactly. He looked like Jamie Noble came down on his head.
Yeah, it was a lot of that going on. Like, it was some of those suplexes. Somebody made a comment saying it was somewhere else. I heard, like, oh, you know, Brock looks rough, but it's like rushing a pillow, like he's safe and everything like that. Yeah, I watched that match last night. Seth Rollins looked like he just got hit by a train.
What dummy said Brock Lesnar's stuff looks safe?
No, they say it doesn't look. They say it looks worse than it actually is. They say like he wrestles a safe style.
No,
it doesn't hurt as much as it looked. No. That might be the case, but I've seen enough time. Like, yeah,
I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, like, he was landing like, you know, like a stunt man, like a couple times he landed like, you know, neck and shoulder first, and it looked painful.
Yeah.
Like, he had that look at them, talking about, is he going to cash it in? He looked on like he got a concussion. Like, no, what happened?
Yeah, I'm cashing in back at the hotel.
Yeah.
Good night. This is a good time to bring the announcing into it, because that goes along with what you just said about Lesnar's offense. Not one time did they point out or recognize on some of those suplexes or throws He was, I mean, I don't know how they could do it, but they weren't your natural German suplexes. They weren't your natural throws, wrestling throws. Mm-hmm. There were plenty of times where Seth Rollins or John Cena's feet were not on the ground.
Yeah.
He just deadlifted them over.
Like, they didn't have anywhere to brace themselves or, you know, prepare.
Yeah.
Like, dead weight, you know, it's kind of like...
That's what I meant, dead weight, yeah.
JBL did a few times, but yeah, I don't know what was up with Cole. Between that and him, something like he's about to lose his voice, Cole was just off more than usual. So,
oh my god, it's the all right. It's the end move that was one of them that gets lost. I mean, to cut you off, it just happened on TV again, and it's still fucking impressive. Seth Rollins does the Falcon Arrow. Or what the hell was that move at the end? The Phoenix Splash.
Yeah.
Okay, so he does that at the end. Lesnar comes in. He just has Seth Rollins up in the air. Seth Rollins' feet are kicking, and he just throws them backwards. There's nothing about that that yells safe style or soft or you know, whatever offense you want. Now, the F5 is probably his worst offensive move. I can't believe they just gave away the entire match on TV, though.
What? I mean, it's kind of like... You got to show something. What are you going to show? It's like, you know, you don't plan. It's like the last time they canceled Raw is because somebody murdered somebody.
Yeah. So. This is the first time they canceled it, not due to a double homicide, suicide, and a terrorist attack.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, it's not in Vince can say all he wants. Like, we plan for everything, but you don't plan on a show getting canceled. And it was kind of like, you know, what are we going to do? But, yeah.
It also helped it was on the network, too, so yeah. They're not worried about pay-per-view buys whatsoever.
Yeah, because if only morons or still order pay-per-views.
That, I know we jumped around right now, but when Michael Cole last night said, for those of you joining us on pay-per-view, I so wanted him to just say, you are stupid. Good night. And just shut it off. I mean... It's a total side thing, but come on, man. That's ridiculous. But anyways, but this match... this exceeded all expectations.
Yeah.
Almost triple times over. And even though he didn't win, he factored in the end, whatever. I think this was actually Seth Rollins, if you want to put coming out party.
Yeah. So you can hang with him.
Yeah, I mean, they showed exactly. He can't be discounted. I mean, he didn't look out of place whatsoever. Like, physically, you know, stature, none of that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like he has that, it's not exactly the same, that edge vibe. Like, you know, like, it always seemed kind of slimy when he won, but you can see him winning. Like, he can, you know, like, he proved he can hang with anybody. But even when he wins, it's kind of like you feel a little dirty, but not like, you know, the right kind of dirty. Like the heel won, and he's good, but maybe he shouldn't have, like he's mad that he won. But not the whole thing, like it's no way in the world he should win. So he definitely proved he can hang with both of them. And that was a concern about that because, you know, it's easy to get, you know, pushed in the background when you're in a ring with John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And yeah, that's why I love Brock. Like they just book him like Mike Tyson punch out. Not even like Mike Tyson, like Mike Tyson on the video game. And how can you not cheer? Like Paul Heyman's there just, you know, in the background just smirking and smiling and just like, look at my boy. And Brock just starts in, suplex, suplex. J&J comes in. I'm going to suplex both of them. Gets jumped by both Cena and Rollins. A minute later, comes in, super, like he basically, it was almost between the time he wasn't selling, getting pushed to a table, like he sold like maybe three or four times. It was a squash match over two people, and it didn't seem out of place. Mm-mm. And we're not talking about, you know, he beat a New Day. We're talking about, you know, the top heel in WWE, more or less, and Superman in WWE. And Brock Lesnar went through both of them. And, you know, he goes from maybe he's getting carried out of the stretcher to teleporting in the ring and slaughtering both of them. Like he, like I said before, that whole attitude adjustment sequence, Cena hit him one time, Brock bounced back up. Cena hit him a second time, Brock bounced back up. He had him three times with that move. And no one's complaining, like, you know, Brock no selling the offense. It just seemed like Brock seemed like the damn juggernaut. How can you beat that man one on one?
Well, Daniel Bryan could have.
Yeah. If he threw a cobra at him, that's always, I've argued all the time, we're probably running late. But since he's coming WWE.
No, we're not really. We're fine. Yeah,
that's true. Since he's coming WWE, he's been booked to be this superhuman monster. Like, how many people beat him clean? Like, no interference, you know, no shenanigans. What, Goldberg? And Kurt Angle, and like Goldberg was, you know, the WCW version of Brock Lesnar, and Kurt Angle is Olympic gold medalist. He can wrestle anybody on the planet. Other than that, it's always been a chair was involved, or a belt was involved, or, you know, they had to justify these no hold bar matches. He's slipping a banana peel for, you know, Triple H and John Cena to beat him. Like, people complain about that whole feud with him and Triple H. It's like Triple H hit him with a pedigree, Brock no sold it, and broke his arm. And we talk about the damn pedigree. You remember how people complained when he hit Daniel Bryan with that and Randy Orton just mosey on down and pinned him. It was like, you get hit with that move, you not getting up. He no sold it. You know, like CM Punk was hitting him with a stick and everything like that, and Brock just brushed it off. Like, we talk about the man that beat The Undertaker clean at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I watched that when they had that SummerSlam match with him and Cena. I had friends over, like Cam and a few other friends. We're watching this match. Like, okay, John Cena's going to have, how is John Cena winning this? Because I have never seen a championship squash match ever. Like, that was just, like I'm just, we're just looking at it, like, there's no way in the world John Cena's losing this. And then he lost. And it's like, that's John Cena. And he beat him like this was a squash match.
Yeah. And you even mentioned it, the backstage part, where Cena even said, Brock's just on a totally different level than the rest of us.
Yeah. And they booked him that way. And it's kind of... Yeah. So whoever's going to beat him, it's going to be a big deal. And I could see a few people that could hang with him. Like Randy Orton may be one. John Cena, because he's actually done it. And Roman Reigns, because he's physically close enough where you can see him putting up a fight. But that list is extremely short. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Bryan, I know he's this technical monster and he's a badass, but I never looked at him like Chris Benoit. Like, Chris Benoit could think he could beat anybody. Because he literally looked like Wolverine. Like, he was 5'7". And 230 pounds. Most normal human beings aren't built like that. So yeah, I can see someone like that. Now, like Daniel Bryan, I never looked at him like, you know, frail like CM Punk. I always thought Daniel Bryan, like, you know, he's a badass. He can hang with anybody. But there's limits. There's a reason why they have weight classes and fights. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm like, no. If it's a no holds barred match, sure. But straight one on one.
Let's not just concentrate on Daniel Bryan, though.
Yeah.
There's no chance Dolph Ziggler could do it.
Oh.
There's no. That's easy. We don't even need to get into that one. But then even as much as people may not like it, I think the same goes for Dean Ambrose.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because people have been talking about this Dean Ambrose thing. I'm like, look, I know Dean Ambrose, that's the hot flavor, and, you know, he's the Joker, and he's Brian Pillman. But he fights like the Joker. Joker ain't beating Batman in a one-on-one fist fight. So why would I think he's going to beat Superman? I'm like, no. I don't see it. And he can fight crazy all he want. Brock Lesnar's going to look at him, lick his lips, and drop him on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep on moving. Like, you got to be – wrestling fans don't like hearing it, and they always get mad. I'm like, it's still a visual sport. And it's a reason why they always say, you know, a good big man and beat a good little man. Like, you got to be a great little man to beat a, you know, a good big man. And whenever they've had those matches with big men, is the other guy's been, like, the best at his field. Like, when Yokozuna wrestled Bret Hart, it was believable because Bret Hart was the best. They booked him as the best wrestler in the world. He can, like, you know, he can tire him out. He can hang long enough to beat him with technical skill. He can get by on that. Chris Benoit, the same thing. You know, like Sting and Vader. It's like, you know, Sting's a good enough athlete where he can hang with Vader and take enough punishment where I can rope-a-dope him. And the same thing with Flair. It's like, you know, they beat him, but it was kind of like, you know, Vader got tired and I won, you know, rolling, you know, grabbing the tights or roll up, something like that. Yeah, Brock Lesnar, unless you kind of like the best in your field, like Randy Orton, he's getting booked as, like, you know, he's the best athlete in WWE. So you can see that. Roman Reigns is built like this powerhouse. Beyond that, no. Just being crazy doesn't mean anything. Unless you're going to come there with a stick of dynamite, who cares how crazy you are? You still got to wrestle him. That's not enough. Crazy doesn't beat skilled if you go under the same skilled rules.
I think we've exhausted it. I still think the fans are going to be upset because I don't think a lot of... I think if we would have done this show last night after the Rumble, I think we would have had a different conversation. But I think it gives you... I mean, you know, time obviously gives you a little more clarity on things. And, like, last night I was just like, okay. I guess going with the obvious didn't help, but the obvious makes sense. So in hindsight, so we can wrap this up, should the triple threat gone on last, or should the Rumble, for, you know, for the exception as it has been for lately, or did they plan out exactly like they wanted?
I think he had the Rumble last because I wouldn't have wanted anything to be shat on that triple threat match. And as great as that triple threat match was, yeah, if you had that last, then the first half of that match, you busy dealing, you know, Daniel Bryan chance and all this stuff and everything. And I mean, they were overcoming because enough fans of definitely Seth Rollins, Cena had his fans. It was definitely a pro Lesnar crowd.
Right.
They could have got over it. But why mess that up? And the whole thing is, if you're gonna do it, just do it. Okay, they're gonna get pissed off. You acknowledge it. You just keep on moving. Yes, The Rock came and helped them because they're family. People made this whole thing, oh, why they waste The Rock? And it just seems like, I'm like, come on now. The Rock got 2 TV shows and a zillion movies coming out. So if he's coming there, it's going to be a big deal. They always acknowledge everybody on that damn island is family. So it's believable The Rock's going to come out there and help his family and put him over. So why is this whole, that part, I'm like, he's going to be out there. You want to push Roman Reigns and you can use The Rock? Use The Rock. Like, use every tool in the tool shed you can. And they did a clumsy-ass way, and it definitely wasn't the most effective way they could have done it, but that's the WWE's thing. Like, when they push you, they're going to push you. And sometimes it goes in smooth, and sometimes you need a lot of KY, but that's never stopped. That's never stopped.
Nice. All right. Let's wrap this up, man. Not too long. We aren't too much longer than we usually are. But with no wrestling action tonight, maybe we can come back later in the week and talk about the funny books and movies again. I've been watching a lot of stuff on Netflix lately. Yeah, some good, some just like, I don't know why I watch this.
So. I saw The Boy Next Door this past weekend, so.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I saw that. Oh, so anyways, thanks for listening. You can follow us on Stunt Granny, any social media Stunt Granny, any of your, you know, podcast platforms, just put in Stunt Granny, you'll find us. So I'm going to get out of here. Thanks for listening, and I'll let Shahid, The Boy Next Door, take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and remember, if you believe in a push, always believe in a push. And we are out.